This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sharon Brody. This week, Boston is marking the centennial of a major league ballpark, but there are no major festivities, no former players flooding into town. The ballpark is Braves Field, where the National League's Boston Braves played from 1915 to 1952. For decades, the stadium has been known as Nickerson Field, the athletic field of Boston University. The BU Police Department is located in the original building that housed the Braves' administrative offices.
And you can see all of those arches were actually entrances into the field, and they had the turnstiles where people would come in.
That's Bob Brady, president of the Boston Braves Historical Association. When we met him at the field today, he told us about how the Braves ballpark was built quickly, in under a year, had its own streetcar stop, and was the place where Babe Ruth signed his last contract as a Major League Baseball player. Ruth played as a Boston Brave for a few games in 1935, then later came back to town as a manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Babe Ruth actually was present on this field during a major league game as a Boston Red Sox, a New York Yankee, a Boston Brave, and a Brooklyn Dodger. I don't think there's any other stadium that can make that claim.
Bob Brady and I took a walk around the site, ending up in what used to be the right field stands.
This portion that we're currently standing and where we are is where the press box is at Nickerson Field. And in the press box area, extending down quite a bit, is the original right field pavilion of Braves Field.
The wall is original and the concrete underneath the seating arrangement?
The entire portion of Nickerson Field in this area is original Braves Field, from the wall to the concrete and steel construction.
And yet, here we are 100 years later, and a whole lot of people are not making a big fuss about celebrating the 100th anniversary of Braves Field.
Well, you have to realize that the Braves left Boston in the spring of 1953. One of the reasons why they left was they had declining attendance, declining interest. In their last season, they only drew around 280,000 for the entire season. Also, unlike Fenway, as you may recall, the Red Sox invited all their former players, and they literally had hundreds upon hundreds of Red Sox players descend on the field. There are only 13 living Boston Braves. The oldest is 100. The youngest is 84 years old. So time has taken its toll, and of course, not only on the team, but the people that followed the team. For a while, fans followed the Milwaukee Braves, but over time, that dissipated. And then when they moved to Atlanta, there's virtually, you know, no homegrown Boston interest.
When they were the Boston Braves, how did they stack up against the Red Sox? What was the mood of the city in terms of its baseball teams?
One of the things that was brought out to me was that the Red Sox were tended to be viewed as sort of an upper crust in society type of fandom. And the Braves tended to draw ethnic people, people who were a generation or two removed from coming into this country, and were more of a blue-collar type of following. And in fact, to encourage attendance, the Braves, and not the Red Sox, had what is known as a knothole gang that allowed children to come in to witness ball games for a very nominal amount. The other thing that distinguished the two teams was the fact that when Yawkey took over, he had a lot of money. And he did a lot of things. He bought ball players. He renovated the ballpark.
For the Red Sox.
The Braves tended to live hand-to-mouth for quite a while until the last hurrah when they had what we called the three little steam shovels, the contractors that invested in the club and spent a lot of money, which resulted in the 1948 championship. But before that, it was an unequal playing field economically.
You mentioned the diversity of the fans. Mm-hmm. The Braves were a lot more advanced in the diversity of their players than the Red Sox as well.
Oh, absolutely. In 1950, the Braves introduced Boston's first African-American major leaguer by the name of Sam Jethro. And they also signed a very young Henry Aaron. who, if the Braves hadn't moved, might have spent his career in Boston. They were recruiting Hispanics, dark-skinned Hispanics. We can call it advanced or whatever, but they basically were doing something that it took the Red Sox a long, long time to accomplish with Pumpsy Green.
Yeah. The Red Sox were the last team in the major leagues to integrate.
Yeah, and you know, when we look at Boston's racial history, which is clouded with the busing issue, you know, one tends to wonder if the Braves had stayed, if the Braves had presented Boston with an integrated team, and these players were able to become role models, would that have facilitated the struggle that Boston went through later on? We'll never know. But yes, the Braves were ahead of the curve when it comes to integration of their team in the city of Boston.
I think a lot of people who are baseball fans might find themselves thinking, wow, what would it have been like if we had stayed a two-team town? And almost feeling a little angry, like, hey, why not us?
Well, I think the first thing is that if we were still a two-team town, we wouldn't have had to have waited till 1967 to be in a World Series and to be a World Championship, because the Milwaukee Braves went ahead and accomplished that shortly after they left Boston. The other thing that I see is Boston is a fanatic sports area. And if we had been a little bit more patient, more likely than not, we could have supported both teams in Boston and had the benefit of seeing all of the stars in the National League that we never got to see over the time. Willie Mays, Stan Musial, all those great players, Sandy Koufax. So I think it was unfortunate that we weren't able to sort of stick it out.
On the other hand, then there's always those internal rivalries which can create some complications. I mean, there's a certain beautiful simplicity to being a one-team town.
Well, you know, it could have been threatening to the Red Sox as well, because when the Braves started to improve, Ted Williams retired. And again, until the impossible dream year, the Red Sox were playing fairly abysmally. The Red Sox might have started to look at other alternatives because, you know, Fenway was aging, it was small, and it may have been the case where they were looking at possibly relocating like the Braves did in 1953. One never knows.
100 years after Braves Field opened, what do you think is the single most important legacy of the Braves in Boston?
The interest in baseball in Boston was developed by the Boston Braves. The history, the heritage of baseball in Boston started way back before the turn of the last century with this particular team. The roots, I think, of Boston baseball are with the Braves and with this 100-year-old stadium.
Bob Brady, president of the Boston Braves Historical Association, thank you so much for this tour today.
It's entirely been my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.